Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
You know,
I can't do that guy.
Let's hate, man.
Okay.
Likely not going to get nowhere.
I digged a little bit. The era has become.
Hey, yeah, beautiful hair.
That ain't no bird.
All right, running behind. But,
Look at us
here.
Hey, we were on time for the first hour.
Yeah, we did great.
And the boss is half in the bag anyways, probably drinking tequila on
Guaranteed.
His porch.
Yeah, he was just texting me about Jerry Sloan. You know, he worked with Jerry Sloan in Utah.
Yeah, he probably worked on some of the pre and post stuff for the Jazz.
He said Jerry Sloan would go and eat with the media in the media room.
Really?
And imagine, yeah.
Just one of those guys.
Imagine a coach doing that now.
He just was, he was like a dirt farmer. I guess he came from like really humble, poor beginnings and just was probably one of those guys that was like, well, it's a free meal. Screw you. Just sit down and eat it.
He also had a gift for colorful language.
Oh, yeah.
According to our boss.
Yeah, Jerry was a cursor. So when I spent my 5 years in Utah, that was one of those things that, you know, caused a bit of an uproar. You know, Salt Lake wasn't the most progressive community in the world. Although I will tell you that for all of the Mormon in Utah, there is not a more vile crowd in the NBA than in Utah. I mean, it is awful. Like, you go to a game there and
That's where Russell Westbrook got into it.
Yeah, it's not good. You will hear things. Well, is it still the Delta Center? I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what it is now.
I don't know.
But if you go there, I will tell you that some of the more cringe-worthy things I've ever heard in my life came at a Utah Jazz game.
Whoa. It's Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Oh, yes. Vivint Smart Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Utah crowd is not... It's not good.
Normies.
They even said that in the
they'll get after you.
The Jordan documentary, right? Where he said he didn't want his kids going to
That's right.
didn't want them going to Utah.
All right. Well,
that was that Russell Westbrook got called boy, right?
Well, I think the guy
Well, I think there were some other
there
things.
There was more than that.
Yeah. Trust me, if you go to a Jazz game, boy is one of the least offensive things you'll heard yelled at African American players.
So I'm going to play the Central Park Karen needs a little setting up. And we have the audio of that. She is trending today. We'll get to her in our next segment.
Yeah, she got what was coming to her.
But the other Karen I wanted to play was the lady who was really upset about having to wear a mask and what that did to her.
Yeah, this Karen, she's over the COVID stuff because, well, she has to wear a mask. And she wore one for 45 whole minutes.
This is what it did to her.
Yeah.
It was probably 45 minutes of having it on. It's the first time I've worn one. I am disoriented. I'm a little mad, if you can't tell that already. Like, I'm frustrated, but I don't feel good physically. Like, I can tell you right now, I wasn't getting enough oxygen, and I just had on one of these little stupid things. I feel dizzy. My hands are kind of tingly. My heart is beating fast. So some of it's an emotional reaction, but some of it's a physical reaction. I understand the virus is real. Okay, I understand the virus is real. Friends, look at the numbers and tell me why everybody's living in fear. Tell me why we're putting these things on and not being able to breathe. I just want to cry. Like, that's all I want to do is cry, because you can't see people's faces. You can't make human connection. We can't hug people. We can't hold their babies. I'm at the end of it. I'm just simply at the end of it. It doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. And it's, I'm not okay with it. Nothing about what we're doing is supported by the numbers that are out there. Those of you that know me, like, I am one of the most compassionate, caring people you will ever Clearly. Meet. And I do care about you. But I also care about me and my children and my family. And I do care about my rights. And it's probably the last time I'm wearing this, because I feel terrible. I feel emotionally terrible, but I feel physically like it affected me. So anyway, there you go.
Bye.
I feel terrible.
That's Karen. Who
45 minutes of wearing a mask. I can't. How do those doctors and nurses do it?
I love the inflection at the end of every, God, that drives me nuts. So here's what I'm thinking, and I'm not okay with it. And show me the numbers.
I'm not okay.
Yeah, she sounded more than,
I can't hold
well, anyone, what would be the word? Like,
can't hold anyone's. By the way, you're having a panic attack, dumbass.
You had privileged. To know what was coming with the, I know the virus is real. I believe in the virus. But...
I can't hold babies.
Show me the numbers. 100,000 people dead. Show me the bodies.
I want to hold babies.
I will tell you what. The mask thing, the two things that have baffled me more than anything else in the pandemic thing, and I get there's people that are going to say it's not so bad or that we need to open up, whatever. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm saying...
that was clearly dismissive.
It is not, right? There's two... I've said it all along. There's two sides to this, right? You... We're trying to save.
Because
you're trying to save as many lives as possible, but you can't stay locked down for months and months and months. It tanks the economy, and you've got a whole other set of problems. You can't do it, right? You can't. There's two ways lives can be destroyed. I totally get it. I just wish there was a way that people could see both sides and realize that you're working towards a common goal from two different areas and to take common sense approaches, but we know that can't happen because we got to yell at each other. What I'm saying is the two things that I do not understand more than anything else in this whole thing. One, the toilet paper thing. I never understood the toilet paper thing. It baffled me.
Is that still going on?
I think the toilet paper is going back to its natural realm, and that's being on the shelves at Costco. I don't think the toilet paper thing is a thing anymore. I never understood the people that were literally buying like 9 years worth of toilet paper. Hundreds and hundreds of rolls. Because of all the stuff you needed, you were afraid that you weren't going to be able to crap. The second one is the mask thing. I do not understand the Karens of the world that are freaking out about wearing a mask. And by the way, you don't have to wear one if you don't want to. Some places you do because they're private businesses or clubs and they can require you to do it. Look, I've got a big beard and the mask isn't that comfortable on me. It's kind of sometimes when I'm wearing it, it slides up and moves around a little bit, but... This idea that people are literally freaking out and it's like, this is my freedom, this is my right, America. That mask thing, this is the one that's baffling me, maybe even more so than the toilet paper. I just don't understand the logic behind.
Well, you clearly didn't listen to Karen. It made her hands shake.
Yeah.
I think it gave her, what did she say? Did she say give her a headache or something?
She can't breathe.
She can't hold babies.
It made her hands all tingly.
Yeah. Hands tingly, that's what it was.
It's just, what?
Couldn't breathe.
45 minutes?
So I think the point here is that, look, wearing a mask, it's not that big of a deal. Just effing do it, and we'll be out of this sooner.
Yes.
And if you think it's that big of a deal, like cry over a 2-minute video over it, you're showing your, again, I'm having a hard time with this word. I don't know what word would slot in here best, but you're showing your, just how spoiled you are, I guess, yes, for lack of a better term.
Your true colors?
Your entitlement.
Entitlement. There you go.
Jesus, you go. Karen.
Just again, make it happen.
Doctors and nurses, you can wear these every day.
Calm down. You can do it. You can do it.
And by the way, someone said they were at Costco 3 days ago. DP aisle completely empty, not one roll. So.
Oh my gosh, really? That's still a thing? The toilet paper?
I was at Costco this last week, and at least the one by me, the one over in Vancouver, and it was fine.
My Safeway still hasn't been stocked with toilet paper. I see like the kind of off brands every once in a while. It's coming back, but still been pretty empty.
Yeah, we had the choice between
also
the Kirkland
peanut butter
and the Charmin.
Gone.
Peanut butter.
Yeah, I'm having a whale of a time finding peanut butter. Huh. It's very strange. At least there.
The chicken at Costco was not. Some of the meat stuff was a little thinned out, and there were some restrictions on how much you could buy meat products, but. The paper towels and the TP and the butt wipes and all that, at least when I was there, was fine. There was not any sort of rush. And I didn't see anyone fighting over the mask thing, but like in some places now, like Costco, you have to wear one. What I'm waiting for is once the flights come back, you know, there's the Karens of the world are not going to take kindly to having to wear the mask during the flight.
I tell you, these Karens, they are a force.
Yes.
We have another one with audio that is trending today, which we'll play for you next. And this woman has been fired from her job.
And her dog taken away.
Yeah, and I'm happy that she got her dog taken away, yes, the way she was handling that dog. But, we'll tell you about Miss Amy Cooper, or Central Park Karen.
She gone.
Coming up next on The Fan.
I always thought I could be a great salesman. Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything, except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
Yeah, all right. By the way, a reporter on the street has texted me and said he was at Tiger Costco an hour ago, and they had plenty of toilet paper down there. So, I don't know.
Look, I think there's some places like any other, any other industry. You're going to go to one, and maybe they don't have it. The point is that if you want some toilet paper, it's not that hard to find, right? You can drive around. If your store doesn't have it, go to the one down the road. Chances are they have it.
All right, so here's the story of Central Park, Karen, if you've been seeing
this one was
this headline.
This was terrifying, actually. I mean, someone could have lost their life over this.
So her name is Amy Cooper. She is white. And she goes to Central Park and she lets her dog off the leash in an area that is popular for bird watching.
Is it the Ramble? I guess it's like a semi-wild part of Central Park. And it's a bird watcher's delight.
And this guy, Christian Cooper, they are not related. He is black.
Yes.
And he is there watching birds. And so he tells her that the dog needs to be on the leash.
She's got a Cocker Spaniel that does not appear to be very well behaved.
So he starts filming when she refuses
to leash the dog.
And she starts kind of barking back at him. And he then attempts to give the dog a treat.
Yes.
Which I read in the story.
He says that he carries them for this sort of thing because, he tries to defuse the situation and, get the dog to leave him alone, calm down.
So there's your tee up. And here is...
Can I say, too, that realize that the whole thing... Someone has the right to film you. I don't know where we get into this you can't film me sort of thing. Yeah, you can. If you're in Central Park and someone takes out their cell phone, they can film you.
Yeah, that's an argument now.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah, you sure can. Yeah, you can.
Sometimes you probably should.
Yes. And this is one of those instances where, yes, you probably should have it filmed because this could have been a much different story.
So here is the 1:08 that Christian filmed.
Would you please stop? Sorry, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
I
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording me.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
Can I take any pictures of calling the cops?
Please, please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
Excuse me? I'm sorry, I'm in the ramble, and there is a man, African-American, who has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog. There is an African-American man, I am in Central Park. He is recording me and threatening myself and my dog. And my... I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man in the ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
Okay, so then he shuts it off, and that's gone viral.
She put the leash on the dog while she was saying that, which is why he said thank you.
And she's literally strangling her damn dog while this is going on. The dog's losing its ass.
Yeah, she can't. Okay, so she never puts the leash on the dog. She just grabs the dog by the collar.
Yeah, and the dog's freaking out.
And as she's walking toward him, she's yanking the dog's collar up near her waist, so that dog is basically hanging there choking.
Yeah, and the dog's flopping and just kind of twitching around, and she just keeps strangling the hell out of the dog. I do love, my favorite part of the whole thing is the inflection of she goes from being fine to being terrified when she's on the... There's a man, and he's threatening my life!
Yeah, she really tried to upsell that.
Well, that's the scariest part to me is she didn't... You know, one, she told him what she was going to do.
Yes.
And then she did it,
yep.
But she sounded so distressed and so frantic.
What happens if a cop
shows up?
That
if they did show up and, you know, again, the whole...
Or what happens if he wasn't filming?
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's...
All you would hear would be the 911 call.
Well, and we've seen...
And she's super distressed.
And we've seen enough, you know, if you're an African-American in this country...
And that's what she's doing.
Hello, Minneapolis today.
Yeah.
It needs to be stated that what she's doing... And I hate to, this is understood for most of you, but for some of you, it may, unfortunately, may not be.
She's insinuating to him
what
could
happen.
She knows
that black men can be targets.
Yes.
And so she is using that. All she has to do is put the effing leash on the dog.
Yeah.
And she can't do that. She has to call, her privilege has to call the police.
And not just call the police, but then lie. And here's the thing. What balls? You're being filmed, dumbass.
And on film, she said what she was going to do.
You know, but this is my thing, is if she's done this while being filmed, how many other times has she done this where she hasn't been caught? I don't believe that this is the first time it's happened. And you go to that card. And by the way, this is 100%, like you said, she knows that African-American men have been targeted. That they're wary of this. And that is a direct threat of, I will call the police and say that you're threatening my life. And the little kick up of the voice and the emotion. Boy, what happens if police come rolling up to the scene because they really believe that there is a man threatening someone's life and the dog, and they see her crying, and maybe he goes to make a move with his cell phone. Maybe for whatever reason, you know, we've seen this happen too many times, and a shot gets fired, a man could have died.
The other thing too about this is people just can't get out of their own way.
No,
just leash the dog. It's like the arrogance to not put the dog on a leash when someone calls you on it.
Yep.
Like the fact that she can't be bothered
and
to
by the
follow
way, there's signs everywhere in the park.
Yeah, and then somebody says, "Hey, can you put a leash on the dog? I'm watching for birds and you might scare the, you know, whatever." The fact that she can't be bothered to follow the law is the ultimate white privilege.
Yes. Hey, but she wants everyone to know.
And by the way,
Amy Cooper has said, "I'm not a racist." I want to publicly apologize to everyone. I did not mean harm to that man in any way. Adding that she also didn't mean to harm the African-American community. And she said, I videotaped it, or she said that she understands that people are offended, and she apologized if anyone did get offended. So she's doing that wonderful apology.
I read her apology, and I thought it was actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Let me read. Did you read her?
I saw her apology.
I thought her apology was the only thing. First of all, there's no words you can say at this point. It's all on film. Dude, just go away.
Yep.
Right? But if you are going to put out an apology, there's nothing more that she could have said. What she said, at least, I don't know. It's as good of an insincere apology as you can have. It was, let me see if I can find it here, what she said. I'll read it to you, Bill.
Yeah, this is why it's horse crap. She said, look, if you're going to do what you want, I'm going to do what I want, but you're not going to like it. I mean, that's ridiculous.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. The whole thing is, her apology is horse crap to me, and doing that, well, I'm not racist, and I didn't mean to offend anyone, and I didn't mean to harm that man. To hell you didn't. You called the cops and said that a black man was threatening your life, and believe me, you emphasized African-American man threatening your life and kicked up your voice because you wanted the cops to show up in a heightened circumstance as a threat to that man.
Here's what she said. She said, I sincerely and humbly apologize to everyone, especially to that man, his family. It was unacceptable, and I humbly and fully apologize to everyone who's seen that video, everyone that's been offended, everyone who thinks of me in a lower light, and I understand why they do. When I think about the police, I'm such a blessed person. I've come to realize, especially today, that I think of the police as a protection agency, and unfortunately, this has caused me to realize that there are so many people in this country that don't have that luxury. So that was her initial apology, and I thought, well, I mean, you can't say any better than that. It doesn't change anything. We think she's awful. By the way, this might throw a wrench into things for you. She's a lib.
Oh,
how about
this? She's woke.
Because, yes, she's woke. So, you know, they have to go and scour their social media.
Apparently not.
When this happens. And she is liberal. So now what do we do?
Say the same thing. She's a horrid human being. And she put a man's life on the line and wanted
racism doesn't pick a side.
And wanted to terrify him because...
I hope you know. I unfortunately have to clarify that I was joking about the now what do we do thing.
Yes, I know.
Okay. Just being clear here. But she, anyway, I think the middle-aged white Karens are starting to rival old khaki pants, white-haired men in the racism department.
Yes, 100%.
It's a pretty good rivalry.
Yeah, this sort of privilege and uppityness, and if you don't do what I want you to do, then I'm just calling the police. It's unbelievable to me honestly, this one to me bothered me more than all the others because of the threat. Her voice and the way she said that, there was no other way around it. She did that to absolutely terrify that man. And someone else brought up a point too. Central Park's a big place. What if there's someone else that's minding his own business walking through there that's an African-American man and the cops show up? That guy has no idea what's going on and something goes down. You cannot just make up, I'm a woman alone in a park and there's someone threatening my life. You just can't do that. And I don't buy that apology. Say saying that because it got recorded and now she's trying to do some sort of PR spin. And by the way, her dog got taken away. She surrendered her dog because it turns out the dog had a bunch of injuries in the past to it. And so people were speculating her treatment of the dog. She surrendered it to the rescue organization that she got it from. And her company did the right thing today and it fired her ass. And I don't...
Franklin Templeton.
Yeah, she was a financial advisor or something. And I'm not all for the, you know, the cancel culture and you make one mistake and, you know, the rest of your life is ruined. I think sometimes that can be a bit much. But in this case, couldn't have happened to a better person.
All right. Well, there's the story of Central Park Karen. Right
Amy.
There.
Amy Cooper, who just Cooper. Seems like a wonderful person, but again, she wants you to know she's not racist.
The coronavirus is getting more and more Karens out there in a tizzy. They're already on edge.
And they hit the social media, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the Karens, is they take their complaints to vids.
My favorite is that the Karens often like film themselves. But whether it's the lady calling the cops on the people having a cookout, or the lady that was calling on the little girl who was selling water in San Francisco. It stuns me that idea crosses your mind that in these sort of situations that this is, I'm just going to call the police. Like she said, that's the one thing I'll give her in her apology, that she said that the police was a protection force. But I don't think that's accurate. The police is... And a lot of people's minds, it's viewed as a way to enforce what I believe. And if I don't get my way, we'll all call the police because they're obviously going to side with me. The entitlement is unbelievable. And I would love to see the police reaction when they show up to some of these things, where they're just like, oh my God, really? This is what you're calling me out for?
Big Zuka, how would you like a pair of, well, it's not a pair. How would you like a bedazzled jockstrap?
Ooh.
Would you like this?
Well, I haven't worn a jock in almost 20 years, but, you know, if you bedazzled one for me, I maybe prance around, you know.
Oh, it's bedazzled.
Right.
And who it belonged to. Next, here's Mike.
You. Can I get a hot tub?
Okay, before we get John in here tonight on Sports Talk, I've got a bedazzled jockstrap for you.
Well, it's about time. I feel like that's what's been missing in my life.
That's a great gift for you. You specifically.
I don't know where I would wear a jock.
Like if somebody said, hey.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
Buy this bedazzled jock and give it to somebody. Yeah. The first person that would come to my mind to give this to is you.
Now, I will tell you that if I did have a bedazzled jock and I wore it, I would have to whip it out. Like, you can't just wear that right. And then not.
Whip like, what out?
The jock. You know, you keep everything. Yeah.
Both of them things.
Like, there would be a lot of
both
heavy.
Both of the things?
There'd be a lot of like, hey, Mike, have you seen my bedazzled jock? And you'd be like, what? And then before you know it, it's down. Like, hey, check it out.
What?
Yeah, here it is.
What is that?
Now, I miss the old, I don't know if anyone wears them, but I wore one when I played because I was a center and you had to keep everything, you had to keep everything nice and tight. So I did wear one then, but I haven't worn one since. I never wore one before I played center, and I really can't think of a reason why I would ever wear one again.
I think I technically wore one because I was a catcher,
so you had
to put the cup in front of it. Does that still count as a jockstrap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I wore a jockstrap.
Well, now like they make like spandex, but a jock is where it's just you've got the front and then the straps, and it's just bare ass in the back.
That's what I wore, yeah. It was, now they have, like, the compression pants that have the little cup spot in it that you would probably wear instead.
Yeah. Old school, it was, your butt was a-hanging.
Yeah, and it was the same, I think only, there was only one bike. It was the old bike jock, and it had, like, a red and blue stripe around the waistband. And I don't know if those things, like, are even a thing anymore, but that was standard team issue at Brigham Young University.
So this is up for auction. It is a bedazzled jockstrap with the king, Elvis Presley's initials in blue diamonds along the waist strap.
Was it Elvis's jock?
It was Elvis Presley's bedazzled jockstrap.
Of course that Elvis had
a
jockstrap.
It is up for auction.
Do I just look at Elvis jockstrap?
Oh, yeah, you'll see it.
And he had this while he was, I'm assuming, doing karate?
Well, it's extravagant.
Wow, look, rhinestone jockstrap. Wow,
it was made by a fan, and Presley wore it. Apparently, he wore it a lot until he died.
I'm not going to lie. I would pay a significant amount of money to see a photo of Elvis. Like, and we're talking like old day Elvis, like fat, bloated pill Elvis. I would give just about anything to see Elvis just cruising around Graceland, like hanging out in the jungle room wearing the bedazzled jock. Anyway, I'm thinking some gold chains to go along with it and the glasses, hair a little bit disheveled.
So it's up for auction. Do you care to guess how much it's going for or they want for it?
The Elvis jock, it's an Elvis thing. So I'm saying that's got to be like a minimum, like 25, 30K.
$36,000 is what they're going to want. When it goes on the block, this is part of the Elvis Presley Museum collection being sold by Paul Frazier Collectibles.
It terrifies me that some old lady out there, probably named Carla, is going to buy this jock. And I don't know what she's going to do with it, but it quite frankly, it makes me mildly uncomfortable.
Carla?
Yeah. My mom's best friend was named Carla, and she was an Elvis fiend. She had a little hound dog, and it was
Elvis was the man.
It was a whole thing. I don't think that Mike probably can't, but like if you're under the age of, let's say, 40, I don't think you can fully appreciate the impact of Elvis on that generation. I don't know if like your mom, Mike, or if you knew anyone, but to the Elvis faithful, they're Michael Jackson's probably the closest thing that's come since, and we probably won't have anything quite like that again.
Well, I certainly am too young to remember the impact of Elvis,
yeah,
or to have felt it.
Yeah, my parents didn't listen to Elvis as far as I remember.
I just had it because I knew people in my life that were diehard Elvis people, and it took me a while to kind of figure it out. But then, like, I've been to Graceland a couple times, and it's just something else. Like, I remember going to Graceland, and he's buried there with his parents. They've got it in the backyard. And by the way, Graceland's kind of a dump. It's really not impressive.
The one thing about Elvis, and I've never been there. I've never been to Graceland, but nor would I probably even care to go if I were in the area. But I may check it out. The impersonations were always, that was the biggest thing with Elvis, is everybody, even though I didn't really listen to Elvis or have, you know, really know of the impact of Elvis, sure. Really. I mean, you knew he was greatness and everybody loved him, but you didn't really feel it. Didn't live through it. You always had an, everybody could do the whole, you know,
he's the most easily.
He's the most, yeah.
You know, whatever.
Impersonated. Yeah. A famous person.
And no one ever does the real Elvis, which is like early, sexy, rock and roll legend Elvis. We all do the fat, bloated Vegas Elvis. The jumpsuits. Like, that was a small part of Elvis before he became insane and brought a .45 pistol to the White House to meet Nixon and wanted to be like a Secret Service agent. Like, he was off his rocker towards the end, but... Like, when I went to Graceland the first time, like I said, he's buried there. You can go see his grave. And I cruised around out there, and there was a, you know, there's tours that go along, or you can just kind of free flow it and go on your own. And I saw these two old ladies, probably, oh, maybe in their 60s, maybe early 70s, full on just like everything, Elvis hat, Elvis shirt, the whole thing. Like, they bought out the bookstore. And we go out there, and it's a real... You know, it's actually kind of understated, the gravesite there. It's just like a big tomb they have there on the ground, Elvis Aaron Presley. And these two ladies go out there, see it, and they just fall down to the ground and just lose it. And I sat there and I was like, he's been dead for a while. Like, you know, thought you would have been prepared for this. You knew. But just these ladies, they were inconsolable. Just laying there, just wailing. And I asked one of the tour ladies, I was like, is this she goes, oh no,
happens all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't even believe. And I was like, oh my God.
Damn.
It's a whole thing.
Imagine feeling like that.
I mean, in some ways, I guess I'm jealous because I don't feel that way about anything in my life. And these people feel that way about a guy that's been dead for decades.
But they didn't even know.
No.
All right, John wraps it up next. On the Fan.
At the hip, and everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
All right, how was your Memorial Day weekend? Fine, sir.
You know, before we get to that, I was wondering where I would go today for hot jockstrap talk, and I should have realized it was this program.
This very program. Yeah. Although, looking at the jockstrap, I'm telling you, man, a lot like the Graceland, it's not impressive.
Now, I have a good My Brother jockstrap story, if you'd like to hear it, Isaac Ross.
Yes. Yes, so I would.
I went, you know, my brother played at BYU.
I do know that.
Yeah, and so I went down to watch him play one time, and I had a friend with me. And my friend thought it was super cool that my brother was the center at BYU. And to try to, like, you know, show him around and stuff, I said, hey, can I bring my friend into the locker room after the game and meet some of the players and stuff? He'd think that was really cool. So my brother's like, yeah, just come down to the tunnel after the game's over and I'll get you guys in. So the game's over, BYU wins, everybody's happy. We go down to the locker room and my brother comes out to get us. And he comes out to get us, the door opens to the locker room and it's just my brother wearing a jock. That's all he's wearing. And so we go in the locker room and I'm like, hey, you know, this is my friend, so-and-so. And my brother's like, oh, like, couldn't have been any nicer. Like, oh, nice to meet you. You know, shakes his hand. You want to get a picture? Can I sign an autograph? Whatever you want. and all the time wearing a jock.
No Is mention of it? The jock.
No, just that's completely, great. Completely normal, except he's wearing the jock. And my buddy, you can tell, is a little uncomfortable because, you know, that's a lot of man right there, and he's just wearing a jock. And my
brother's probably ill-fitting.
Oh, it was at least two sizes too small because I liked everything to be nice and tight.
And makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. He's all sweaty and dirty, and I think he has, like, ankle tape on and a jock. That's all he's wearing. And my brother, and he's just, like, completely ignoring the fact. And this wasn't set up beforehand. This was spur of the moment, like, oh, my brother and his friend are out there. I'm going to go get him, and I'm not putting anything on. So after a few minutes, like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just kind of ignoring it. And so my brother's like, hey, you want to meet some of the other guys? And my friend's like, yeah. So the first guy we go to is one of my brother's best friends. He was another offensive lineman. His name was Teague.
Yep.
And Teague is also wearing the exact same thing, just a jockstrap. And Teague's like six times bigger than my brother. He is an enormous person. And again, ill-fitting, super small jock and like some ankle tape. And my brother introduced, hey, this is my brother, my brother's friend. And then Teague goes, after like 30 seconds, Teague brings it up and he says, oh, I'm sorry. Are you uncomfortable that I'm just wearing this jock? And my friend is like, doesn't know what to say. He's trying to be polite and stuff. And he goes, well, I mean, you know, kind of. And without missing a beat, he goes, oh, I'm sorry, and takes it off.
Oh, my God. So
he's just naked. And then he's like, is that better?
Wow. That's so souk.
I'm like, all right, well, and so I think he got like a signed football, and then my buddy's like, all right, we're done here, let's go.
Well, not only do you guys have a story to tell for Everlore, so does that guy. Look, I would love to hear your friend tell the story now.
Right? Yeah. So, good times down in Provo.
I'll tell you right now, there's nothing that isn't funny about a bunch of fat guys walking around in ankle tape and jock straps. That's just good times.
I would imagine that's after every game for you guys.
100%.
All right, John. Have a good night.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too.
I do remember that story. I believe Brandon was the young man's name that got to come in the locker room. I think I have a photo of that somewhere with him and Teague.
I would say I want to see it, but I don't. I don't.
Maybe I'll send that to you tonight.
All right, that's it for our show. Coming up tomorrow, another one, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Spain. Friendships of Spain.
You gotta never think of it. Knock it to the door.
With all that war.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.